What's up, family? I want to welcome you to another episode of the Hakimian Show. And it's a blessing to be here with you today. Today we're going to have a great discussion on faith, on leadership, on black economics, black community, with a man who's been influential and active as an activist, as a civil rights leader here in South Florida. I'm excited to have in studio with me today, Nathaniel Wilcox. Nathaniel, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, wonderful, excellent, and great, because Jesus is Lord, in spite of what's going on.
Amen, amen. And I've known you now for probably about 4 or 5 years, maybe a little bit longer than that. And man, you've been so active in this community, man. And it's been just great seeing your faith, your values, and just your service, man. What inspired you to become a civil rights leader, especially for the black community?
Well, my inspiration goes back to when my mom was working with the NAACP. Our church was very active in civil rights issues. And I watched her, and mom always made us a part of what was going on. And my dad supported too, but primarily what my mom was doing and working in the church. And I saw how she worked with the community and wanted to make changes. It was a very hard road, but it inspired me because I wanted to see change. My mom wanted to see change. Our family wanted to see changes in our community.
Okay.
So the only way that change can happen is that you get busy, roll up your sleeve, not just talk about it and complain about it, but you become active and working to make things happen and change in our community.
Okay. Okay. What was the thing that really shaped your parents? Was it their faith? Was it their experiences? I mean, what was it that caused them to just to be active in a time where I know that Miami was very segregated and it was harsh?
Right.
You know, my father-in-law grew up in Liberty City, and he talks about how he couldn't even go to Miami Shores.
Miami Beach
in, right. In the 60s or 50s, yeah, 60s.
You had to have a pass.
Yeah.
I remember that.
So what shaped them?
Well, actually, it started with my grandfather, and my grandfather was also a member of the NAACP, and then my mother worked with the NAACP and her faith and working with the church. The church had...
Now, when you say NAACP, you talking about NAACP?
NAACP. Oh, okay. Right, okay. Right. And our church was very, very active, and they pulled in people from different communities to talk about the issues, to talk about segregation, to talk about jobs, to talk about police brutality, and also hash out ways to deal with it. And I was very, very young at the time, and my activism really didn't get started until after I graduated from college.
Okay.
And I had the opportunity through the Pulse organization to become really involved. And I was hired as the lead organizer for Pulse, People United to Lead the Struggle for Equality.
Okay.
And I've been working with Pulse now for 28 years. So my knowledge and my desire, my drive to see things happen in our community, not just from the civil rights perspective, but also from the spiritual perspective and working in ministry.
Okay.
Was very, very important to me and still very important to me. And as I live, as I go forward, I look forward to doing even more.
Okay. And what are some of those, now you started working for them for about 10 years ago, right?
Pulse?
Yeah, Pulse.
28 years.
Oh, 20 years. Oh, wow. Okay. What has been some of the initiatives that you guys have seen come through in Dade, and have you guys been involved in parts of Broward or?
Pretty much in Dade County.
Okay.
Some of the primary issues that I've looked back on and relish is when we fought for the city of Miami. We didn't have black representation on the city commission, and we had to fight to change the voting system from an at-large system to a district system. It took us about 3 years to get that done, but we were able to accomplish that, where we do have a black city commissioner in the city of Miami. Also, we worked on some issues, city of Hialeah, where they were discriminating against African Americans in hiring on the police and the fire department. We had to bring in, as a long goal, to bring in the Justice Department to help us deal with the city of Hialeah, because they felt that they had it going on and we didn't have to pay attention to them. And they didn't. It just took black people for granted. But we were able to fight with the city of Hialeah through the Justice Department and get that done. We still have issues that we have to work with in Hialeah and other communities and municipalities, but we've done a very good job in working with them and getting the mindset changed in the city of Miami from where they used to shoot and kill black people. It was a ongoing thing. But we also brought in the Justice Department to become involved in that particular, those issues. And we had, long story short, there are officers that had to be incarcerated as a result of the shootings and the beatings and the killing and the wrong that was being done. And Pulse headlined those issues in our community so that now we deal with the police department on a different level and letting them know and working with them to know that we want our community to be safe. Also, we want our people to be able to drive down the street without fear of police brutality.
Okay, good. And then I know you guys have been involved in some building initiatives or just economic issues too.
Well, when you say the building issue, we have been working with the Liberty Square issue where we work to get representation in there that would revitalize Liberty Square. Mm. It was a very rundown. It is rundown right now, and we worked to get the commissioners and other people involved, the community primarily involved, to get the changes done, to get Liberty Square from being just a rundown, dangerous place to now, if you go over to Liberty Square on 61st, 67th Street, you see the buildings that are being built now.
Yeah.
So we are very concerned about that and making sure that our community changes. It can't remain the same.
Yeah.
It has to change, and we played a role as Pulse in making things happen.
Okay, good. And then who makes up Pulse? I mean, Pulse is what? Is it a bunch of civil rights activists? Is it business people? Is it clergy? I mean, what is it?
Pulse is comprised of churches and civic organizations where a person who wants to become a part of Pulse, they have to come through a member group. And the member groups are, like I said, churches, civic organizations. We've had some different police unions that are part of Pulse. We've had other organizations that were part of the organizations like African American Episcopal Church. We've had firefighters.
Okay.
And black professionals. It's a part of Pulse to make things happen in our community. And we still, we're comprised of churches and civic organizations today. We have a board, our president, Reverend Olden Reese. We have two vice presidents.
Mm.
We also have our treasurer. We have other parts of our board that directs the organization and the way it should go.
Okay, good. And then how was your faith? How has faith shaped you? You know, you talked a little bit about that, and how has your spirituality shaped your activism?
Well, you know, the Bible says, "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, acknowledge the Lord, and He shall direct thy paths." A part of a problem in our country and our communities is that they are trying to do things without the Lord. They push them to the side,
sure,
and say, "Well, we can do this. We have a mind, and we want to do that." But without the Lord, we can really do nothing. And our country and our communities and just going down because we're trying to do things without the Lord. And I recognize early on in working in the civil rights field, I needed the Lord. If nobody else needed Him, I needed
Yeah,
Him.
Yeah.
I needed Him to direct me in what to do and what to say and how to deal with all these issues because I can't do anything without Him. So and all these issues that we worked on over the years, it hasn't been me, but it's been the Lord directing me, directing the organization, because it is, like we said, made up of churches and civic groups, but we have to make this personal. I had to make it personal where it's not just I'm a part of the church, I'm just a part of Pulse, and, you know, we go to church. But when I pray, I see God's face, I need to I need for him to tell me what and how to do it.
Yeah.
Because he has to open some doors. I Amen. Can't open no doors. I can Amen. Protest. I can march. I can do all those wonderful things that people like to do.
Yeah.
But without the Lord in it, without the Lord's direction, divine direction, then we're just going to be walking around in a circle doing and accomplishing very little. So my faith has played a very vital role. And today it still plays a very vital role. And in my living, in my marriage, dealing with my children, just walking down the street.
Okay. And how did you come to know the Lord? I mean, were you raised in the church? Did you come to know Christ while you were incarcerated? I mean, what's your story?
Well, thank God I didn't come to know him while I was incarcerated. But anytime you get to know the Lord, it's a good yeah. thing.
Amen.
But I grew up in the church at St. John, a Missionary Baptist Church in Overtown. And I learned some of the basic tenets about faith, some of the basic things about the Lord. But at that particular time, until I really got into college, I was kind of like just going to church. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I heard and they talked about what it is about being a Christian, but Christ in me. I had to learn Christ in me, the hope of glory through the power of the Holy Ghost is what it's all about. It's not just going to church, not just being a member, not just complaining about other people not living right and a whole bunch of other things. I need the Lord as I went through those college years to mold me and to make me and to direct me, to strengthen me. And what I had to do, and God is real. I mean, the Lord is real, and whatever we ask Him, when we surrender to Him, He will help us if it's His will to accomplish and to do those things. So I like to do a lot of things. I like scuba diving. At a time I was a pilot.
Wow.
Motorcycles, you name all those things, and I needed the Lord on my side when you're doing all those things. I didn't like to do crazy things, but I needed Him as protection. And I'll give this one example. In riding my motorcycle one day, the Lord, I was going about maybe 40, 50 miles an hour, and the Lord said, slow down, slow down. And I'm looking around, ain't no cars nowhere, slow down. The Lord said, slow down. And I didn't see anything. I'm wondering, why should I slow down? But I knew it was the voice of the Lord telling me to slow down. So I said, okay, Lord, I'll slow down. So as I slowed down, out of nowhere came a car to the side, and it hit me, and I rolled and I tumbled. But I just thank God that I had obeyed His voice and slowed down, and I ended up with a broken wrist and shredded clothes. I had my helmet on, and I was able to survive that. So in all we do, we need the Lord. We need to be able to listen to His voice and let Him direct us, even in the little things that we feel, why I need to do this and why I need to do that. But it's God's blessing. It's His direction.
Amen.
It's His arm of protection that we need as we live from day to day, as we deal with our family. I'm married. I have two kids. I have my wife has two kids. Also, I've been married for 12 years.
Nice.
And it's been wonderful. I mean, I wonder where all this marriage controversy and stuff comes from.
Yeah.
It comes when you don't, as a man, allow the Lord to direct me and listen to His voice to do what I need to do for myself and my family.
Yeah.
And when I do what God tells me to do, things work out. But when I step out of line, regardless of what my wife is doing, God holds me as the head responsible for everything that happens in my family. If I'm not on part, on task and doing what God said, dude, there's going to be trouble.
Amen.
Just like when Adam was on task doing what God told him to do in the garden. I know this is a little far from civil rights, but when we're not on task as the man of that house doing what God said do, there's going to be trouble in the house. And when we do what's right, God, I complained to God when I was married a short time. This is my second marriage. My first wife passed away. We're married for 15 years.
Okay.
And the Lord told me that if I do what I'm supposed to do, that's 90% of the problem right there. If I just do Nathaniel Wilcox, Nathaniel Jeremiah Wilcox, if you do what you're supposed to do, that's 90% of the problem. And I humbled myself. I said, okay, Lord. And when I started doing what I was supposed to do, then everything else fell in line. The other 10%. The other 10% took care of itself.
Yes.
So, and all that we do, if we as saints, as Christians, as lovers of God, do what we're supposed to do and stop complaining and worrying about whatever other people are not doing, then God will do the rest.
Man, you're preaching. you're preaching some truth here. Mm-hmm. And so when it comes to the issue of leadership, do you find being the executive director of Pulse, do you find commonalities between your marriage, leadership, and this issue of obedience in marriage relating to leading an organization? Can you speak on that a little bit?
Yes, and I'll just first, before I go on, I love my wife, Francine McCoy Wilcox. Like I said, we've been married 11 years, and there is commonalities in terms of just your faith walk, period. You know, all that's wrapped into the same vein. Mm-hmm. What I do with my family and I do with Pulse, it's all being led by God and allowing Him to lead us and to direct us, and Him being out front. Many times we look to the president to do certain things. We look to our leaders to do certain things. Mm-hmm. But as if we're in tune, we're focused in with the Lord, He is a lead. He will direct our path. Hmm. He will open doors. He will fight our battles for us, not the president, not the vice president. And there's so much commotion going on. Even it could even happen in our civil rights organization if we don't allow God to direct us as a people. It says, the Lord said, if my people which you call by my name will humble themselves and pray. It didn't just say go to the president. We've got to humble ourselves as the executive director of Pulse, as the husband of my of my wife and my family. I've got to humble myself and pray and seek God's face. And if there's wickedness in our lives, we've got to turn from it, not just talk about it. We've got to turn from it and allow Him to make things right. Wow. So that in itself, dealing with the organization, dealing with the family, dealing with everything that comes our way. We go through tests, we go through trials. But the most important thing is allowing God to help us to go through and let Him show Himself great and nice. Mighty in all that we encounter.
Nice, nice, nice. Wow. And then what do you see the state right now of Black families? You're talking a lot about family and obedience. What do you see in the context of Miami-Dade? Everyone's looking to Miami-Dade. Liberty City, you know, a lot of national attention right now. Stars just came out with a series on Liberty City's football history and development of so many football athletes. And when you watch that series, you know, you just can't stop to think about the Black family, because a lot of these young men have fathers that are engaged. But it seems to me that there's an over saturation or an over emphasis on athleticism and why not engineering and why not other trades, you know? So what's your perspective? You're on the ground, you're working with people every day. What do you see as the state of the Black family and Black economics of Miami-Dade?
Well, there are good points, and there are good people, and there are a lot of individuals that are doing great things in terms of the family, and I can't understate their importance in what they're doing. But a lot of times we have those problems where our youth are not really focused like they should be. A lot of our youth are focused on the quick, simple, easy tasks. I was an athlete too. I was a swimmer in college. I had a swimming scholarship at Aubrey State, as well as University of Alabama. But it's all right to be an athlete.
Oh, yeah.
But you have to focus in on what you're going to do after you leave the field, after you leave the pool, after you leave all these other things. It's important to have a sense of direction in what you're going to do. My major was history and political science. So right now I'm kind of working in that area. But the Black family has not progressed the way it should. Our focus as a whole has not been holistically in God's favor. I remember our churches used to be full. People used to go to church every day. And it took God to help us to get out of that civil rights doldrum that we're in, where segregation was just the rule of the land. It took praying. It took fasting. It took seeking God's face. But we don't have that now the way we used to. You go to the churches, and I visit the churches, you don't see people in there like you used to. You see very few in a lot of the churches, because I visit a lot of churches, not just the big churches, but the smaller churches, the storefront churches, and you don't see family engaged the way it used to. And as a result of family not being engaged, as a result of the men not being men, I'm not just talking about somebody who's a sperm donor. I'm talking about men who are actually in there taking care of their family, leading the way, and not just being sexually involved to satisfy your own lust. Family is suffering. When the family suffers, that means the community suffers. So until we get in line, we get line upon line, precept upon precept, obeying and doing what God say do, there's always going to be more suffering and needless suffering in our country, our communities. Black community is going to go, you know, out of kilter. And it's so much that we can do. We're smart people. We're great people. Black people are very important. So, but we need the Lord to lead, guide, and direct us in all we say and do. We need the men to be men and not be confused about being, I was born a man, but now I feel like I'm a woman. That's not God. And I'll say that on the radio, wherever else I have to say it. God made me a man. If the enemy comes and try to trick me, I don't care whether you cut me, change stuff around. I'm still God, still holding me accountable as a man.
Yeah.
And he didn't call me to go sleep with another man. My wife didn't sleep. He called us to be the people of God.
Amen. Amen.
And if we're not being obedient to his voice,
yes,
nothing good can come out of that.
Absolutely.
And as you see now, you have a lot of our youth, they're all confused. And there's more confusion in the land than there's ever been before, where when the men don't do their job, that just has opened the door for a lot of this hellish wickedness that we are experiencing now.
Absolutely. And what are some initiatives you guys have coming up that people, if they're interested, they can get involved in? As volunteers or possibly as donors or even just prayer partners?
Well, right now we're in the process of working. We've had a program going for a couple of years now. We're going to our third year with our Youth Leadership Academy.
Okay.
One of the most important things to me is that we get our youth more involved in civil rights and in politics and the things that will help our community go forward. I'm 64 years old, and I'm not going to be this activist or organizer for eternity. I have a short span where God has called me to do work, and then someone else is going to have to come along and take my place. Someone else come along and take your place. So training those individuals to be able to work in as community leaders, as a mayor, as a commissioner, as a the sanitation worker, director. We're looking forward to working with our young people so that they could be judges and all these other different areas. So we're exposing our young people now through our Pulse Leadership Academy to those things, what it takes to help our community go forward. Voter registration, that's important. Mm. So we've identified, primarily working with 25 young people from the Liberty Square area, the city of Miami, to be able to work in those areas, to sit with the commissioners and have them mentor them to talk about those areas. And we work from January to about April. We have two sessions a month. And then we have our sessions on Saturdays from 12 noon to about 3 o'clock. We go out, like I said, we meet with the commissioners, we meet with those who are in leadership positions, so that hopefully our youth will get a better understanding of the importance and sign on to it and work in those areas, because we've got to help our youth to zero in on important things. You know, playing Nintendo and all this other stuff is passe. We need to be able to help them get focused, and it takes time, it takes a lot of work and effort to be able to do that. So I've been blessed to be able to work with young people. We're now in the process of identifying young people from Miami-Jackson, Miami, Booker T. Washington, Northwestern, and Edison to number one, we're looking for the young people who work in the Student Government Association. We're recruiting them, not only just recruiting them, but we'll be working in those capacities with the young people who are in those areas.
Okay.
I not only will be working with them through the Youth Leadership Academy, but we've signed on to work with them, the Student Government Association, to help them further their goals and learn and understand the importance of government.
Nice. Thank you, Nathaniel. This has been just a blessing, man. What would you say right now to a young black leader who is graduating FIU or UM or Miami-Dade, and they want to make a difference? What would you say to that young black professional or Hispanic professional or white professional that just wants to make a difference, maybe cross-culturally or within their own cultural framework? What would you say to them from your experience when it comes to impact and transformation?
Well, the best thing to do is to have a desire to do it, and then ask God to lead, guide, and direct you.
Yeah.
And what direction you should have, go on, because there are many organizations. There, Pulse, number one, I must support Pulse and say, well, you can come to Pulse and work with the People United to Lead the Struggle for Equality. But there are other organizations too, the NAACP, you have other church groups and organizations that's working in the community trying to make a difference. So there's multiple organizations that we can go to, be a part of, to help bring about change in our community for the better. Not just complaining about what's bad, but we need to be able to work to make things good. So yes, you can have your job. Yes, all of us need jobs, but we also need to play a role in helping to stabilize our community and helping it go forward and helping it go up instead of going down. So all of us have abilities. We all of us have talents, and we can put those talents and abilities to work for the betterment of our communities.
All right. So what I got from that was have a desire. That's the first D. Right, you gotta have a desire.
Yes.
You know, I think Paul said, if anyone desires to be an overseer, mm-hmm. right, that desire has to be there. Two, they gotta do the work.
Yes.
Right, and get involved. Then thirdly, determine their role.
Yes.
Right, they gotta know the position they're playing on the basketball team. You can't play every position, but you could play a position. So, man, thank you, and I really appreciate you being here. And I have your Facebook page up on the screen. For those who are listening on the podcast, I'll go ahead and say it. It's facebook.com/Nathaniel.J.Wilcox.3.
Okay.
Nathaniel.J.Wilcox.3. And of course, you can go to Pulse Miami. I believe it's .org or .com.
.com. And also, I'll give my telephone number. I'm not afraid to put my telephone number out there.
Sure.
For people who may want to contact me. And my telephone number is 786-488-2979. And I say this to my wife's chagrin, I'm available 24 hours a day.
All right, that's
786-488-2979. Yes.
And again, Nathaniel's always looking for donors.
Yes.
And if you're a donor out here, you know, and God is blessing you financially through your business or through your work, consider sending Pulse, you know, a good sizable donation, man, so they can continue doing the work here. And I want to add, one of the things I really appreciate about you, and for those who are listening and who are concerned about kingdom or Judeo-Christian values, right? You could be a Jewish person and have Judeo-Christian values. You could be a Christian, whether you're black, Latino, Asian, it doesn't matter. The Judeo-Christian values that come out of Scripture and are universal, they're international. And you got people that are both Democrats, Republicans, Independents, Libertarians.
Absolutely.
That have Judeo-Christian values. They believe in family. They believe in fatherhood. They believe in hard work, smart work. They believe in good financial stewardship. They believe in treating people with respect and dignity, being a man. They believe in just old-fashioned, ancient principles of success. And Pulse, and you as an executive leader, I've seen, has stood firm on these Judeo-Christian universal values. And so I want to say that when you're giving to this organization, you're not only giving to someone who's actually doing the civil rights work, but he's doing it from a Judeo-Christian framework. Okay? And again, whether you're religious or not, we know one of the things that makes this nation great, that really has created this concept of freedom and liberty, comes out of the Judeo-Christian worldview of the dignity of the human being.
Yes.
That is a God-given right. It's an inalienable right endowed by the Creator. And that's what makes it great and allows us to disagree, to have freedom of press, freedom of religion, freedom of conscience. And I've seen you fight for those things, man. And I really appreciate that. And so I want to reinforce to those people who are considering getting involved with your organization, whether with money or with prayers or activism,
yes,
that they're giving to an organization that's solid in their philosophy, in their morality, and their values. So you guys haven't went off the deep end in just basically saying that everything goes, because everything doesn't go.
That's
in
right.
The real world, it doesn't go.
That's right.
There's real consequences to bad behavior.
That's right.
So I really appreciate that, man. Again, we'll have you back on to explore different things. So much that's happening in the culture. I want to talk more about immigration with you today and how that's affecting the black community. And I've heard even liberal Democrats, well as black conservatives, say that pretty much have the same position on immigration, which is that it's that's hurt the black community when it comes to labor. And they believe in it, but they believe it should be done methodically
in
and in order.
In order.
But I'd love to hear more of your thoughts on that and just other issues concerning music and art. And I know Kanye's been in the news a lot, and to get your perspective on those things. So we'll have you back. Again, I want to thank you.
All right. It's great being here.